It's time for your Friday Rise and Grind with James Chapman and Addison Corbin. How you doing, James?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Honestly, that's actually not true. I really don't want to be here today. Danny and I talked about it earlier. I was like, I don't even want to be here today.
You don't want to be at the office today?
Yeah.
Got
Yeah, I
it.
didn't mean in the like existence. Yeah, it's just like at the like I do not want to do this kind of work today.
Roger that. And sometimes that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're pushing it. Anything but effort at this point in time is what it is.
Yeah.
So therefore, we are here. We are rocking and rolling, and we will put the best foot forward, and we will make the most out of it.
Well, she said it. She said something that was 100% true. She goes, I told her that, and she goes, "Are you going to actually do something about it?" And I said, "No." She goes, "Then why are we even wasting time talking about it?"
That's it.
So I went back to work.
Yep. And that's at the end of the day, at the end of the day, damn it, boy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, bad things happen, right? And it's important to not let those things affect how things get done, because there's still responsibilities and there's still things to get done.
Yeah, for
So,
sure.
with that being said, is there anything pressing at the current moment on your end?
Is there anything pressing at the current moment? What
On your end, just with work.
now? No, I just have a, I mean, I have a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But one of the main things I've always dealt with, and I continue to try to, I have to continue to fight is distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's my big thing. So it's tough for me. For the most part, other than me saying that earlier, like I like my company. I like getting to come in here. I like working with my team. I like getting in the trenches with them, and that is not always healthy. But I saw a video from Brad Lee the other day, which really smart guy. I mean, he's like, it's so much practical sense the stuff he talks about. And he was just talking about the hardest worker or hard work does not equal money.
Right.
And there's so much of my life that was built on hard work. I come from a blue collar family. My parents instilled in me hard work. They didn't miss work. They got up, they went every day, sick, whatever. I mean, like it had to be bad. There was the expectation, unless you were like literally throwing up head spinning. You got up, you went to school, you did
Yep.
whatever your obligations were. Even when I was a teenager and had a part-time job after school, like if I would have skipped work and came home, I mean, that never happened. But if I would have done that, they would have chewed my ass. So I don't know why I struggle with the concept, because I know it doesn't mean that you won't still continue to engage and work hard, but the thought of not, it's weird to break the cycle of your time. Like that's how you get something out of it, is the amount of time you put in it. Am I making sense?
No.
Like basically, if you work a job, you trade time for money,
Correct.
right? So my thought is always, how do I get more efficient with that time? How do I bring on people, right, that help me with that to multiplies my time, which I've done, and that's tremendous. But I still struggle with the thought of disconnecting myself in time, my direct time commitment to my results.
Right.
And that is a problem for me that I have to continue to work to fix, because the if I you know, the same, like work yourself out of a job. Like if I can actually get that done, that's where it's at. That's like ultimate winning, where I don't have to constantly in every moment be there touching everything, overseeing everything. Like then it's giving me the return. That's what I should be working for.
Right. The result at the end of the tunnel. It's not necessarily about how hard you work and how much time you're putting into it, but how can you get the result at the end of the day or whatever it is? How can you get those results and be able to maximize the effort that is being put, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's singularity in just you pushing the rock, or if you have a crew also helping you push the rock. At the end of the day, how can you get it there faster, quicker, and more efficiently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's tough for me to think long term in that aspect. I do. I just
struggle. I get it.
I'm just a worker.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, there's a lot of times, just like personally in my life, where I lose track of the larger picture of things because I get so involved with the pushing of the rock and not necessarily where the rock is actually headed.
Right? Yeah.
And we've had a couple conversations, you and I, about that. Of being able to keep the waypoint, right? Being able to keep the pin where it needs to be, and then being able to, you know, detach and look up and being able to evaluate where it's headed, right?
Yeah.
Because if not, then you're climbing up a hill, and the other side of the hill is kind of not where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's funny. My dad and I took we went up to Tennessee together. And it was a quick turn and burn, and we were in the car about 8 hours together, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, just, you know how it is on a car road trip, you know, you're kind of just randomly talking about a little bit of everything. But we were talking about his work and him being retired, and then the guys he worked for, and we kind of got in deeper conversation. He was talking about the original, like, old man that he worked for, and his son came in, and then his grandson came in. And we were talking, I was like, yeah, I don't really remember him. I think he went by Big Mike, I believe. I was like, I don't remember him as a kid. And he's like, yeah, I get that. He said, I mean, you know, after quite a few years, once his son got involved, you would walk. He said he had a little bitty office with a little bitty desk in the back. He said, if I ever walked back there, he usually had his feet up on the desk and he was reading the paper and he was laughing about it. And, you know, we kind of, the joke went on. And then I start thinking about it. A lot of what their work was like government contracts. They did a lot of, it was an electrical contractor. I mean, they did a lot of stuff from lighting to road signage to all kinds of stuff. So I was thinking, you know, even to this day, a lot of counties and stuff, municipalities, they put all their bids out there for their jobs in the paper. And I guarantee you, a lot of what he was doing, he had his feet up on the desk, but he was probably reading through, finding where bids were opening up to find future work. It's probably what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was finding leads. And so I just made me realize, like, the perception is, hey, he was taking it easy. He had earned that, though. Like, my dad did not speak negatively, and he had the utmost respect for that man. I'll put it this way. When he died, that man died, they asked my dad to be, I'd never heard of such, I can still remember it. Like, even though I was a kid, they had him, as a pallbearer foreman. So literally, like, he led the casket. There was six guys carrying the casket, and he led the casket to the gravesite. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of mutual respect there, but the thought was, hey, he was kind of chilling out in the back. He probably was finding future jobs. It wasn't how hard he was working. It was what he was lining up for the future to keep everybody going, right? So,
yeah, that's,
it was just an interesting thought.
It's definitely one of those things to think about, is perception and how a lot of times we get so caught up in the way that we view the world, right? Mm-hmm. In our own personal perceptions of things, that we don't actually detach and see things from other points of view all the time. And so I think that's one of the cool things about being able to do like have these conversations like you guys did, is you get to detach from your own view of it, and you're able to see it from other aspects. So no, that's a super cool to actually be able to think about and be able to see that new light, right?
Yeah.
So
you know, but it's all perspective. Once again, like you're saying, we talk about like my company, okay? Or let's just make an example here. Let's say you have a company that does, you know, $2 million a year in revenue.
Yeah.
All right. And you go, man, I got to work all the time. I got to work all the time for $2 million in revenue. Well, how much time would you spend for something that drew in $20,000 a year in revenue? Would it get all your time? Or would you have it set where if it wasn't your main thing or your main squeeze, maybe you only give it 2 hours a week or 4 hours a week, right? Well, so what would be the difference if that same situation, you had a company making $100 million in revenue and there was something over here making $2 million revenue? Would it get all your time if there wasn't the opportunity for it to be bigger than your main thing or whatever? Like,
right.
So my point being is like whatever your company's doing in revenue, I don't know what the average small business does in revenue. That's actually an interesting question. I guarantee it's probably less than $250,000 a year. You looking that up?
Yeah. How much did you say?
I said probably $250,000 a year annual revenue for the average small business.
So an average small business, the median is about $53,000 in revenue.
Wow. Okay.
Now, that's with no employees, it's 44 compared to 387,000 for a business with 1 to 4 employees.
So I mean, that kind of leads in the next thing. So to that may be a big number for you right now where you're at, right? But like, where are you taking this thing? Where's it going? So don't always keep open-minded about your time and effort and effectiveness of the company. But holy hell, I mean, that's the thing. What's there, like 28? I think there's like somewhere 20, 26, 28 million small businesses in the country. A lot of them are solopreneurs. So, you know, with that, I mean, that definitely has a dramatic effect on those numbers, right? That goes to show you how powerful having people duplicate your time.
That is exactly where I was going to take that. 100% is the more people you have pushing the rock in the same direction with the same mindset and the same process, it's going to get there a lot faster.
Yeah.
Now the next question, how many small businesses make over either at or over $1 million in revenue a year?
Oh, I'd say it's probably like less than 10%.
9%.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And most U.S. businesses have fewer than 5 employees. Small business account for 99% of U.S. companies.
So, I mean, look, you can be effective, but if you've been on the fence about, man, I really need an employee, you will grow. If you have the right plan and you're doing it from your house and you're talking about expanding to get in office space, I'm telling you, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. You rise to the occasion. Now, look, if your business is not making money, you just hiring somebody is not going to solve it. The problem, right? You still got to be able to drive in the leads and everything. But if you are spread too thin, you got usually two main issues if you're spread too thin. Well, three main issues. You're completely unorganized. You don't have enough people. Or you're not charging enough.
Yep.
Or a combination of all three.
And to take it back to, because I think this also applies to this, it's an expense. So Bradley, I also saw a video this morning that he was at a point in his career where he wasn't making a lot of money, but he was making a decent amount of money. And he got approved for a Mercedes. And everybody was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You know, it's not a good decision. It's going to put you know, outside of your range. Da, da, da. He said, I went ahead and did it. When he bought the Mercedes, driving around in the Mercedes made him feel a certain way, but also it made him want to raise the bar by just simply purchasing the vehicle and being in the vehicle and driving the vehicle, to the point of he never once missed a payment, even though when he initially got the vehicle, he wasn't sure he was going to be able to afford it, the payments. And so by being in this new state of mind, by having to force update, right, the software, he rose to the occasion and he never missed a payment on that vehicle. So it's the same concept of when you make that first hire in a business, it's very scary because now you have someone else to watch out for. However, for me at least, it forced me to be able to come up with that weekly nut, right? The monthly nut, the yearly or annual nut. Being able to actually come up with that was a scary ass factor because I was like, I don't even have enough to pay for myself. But it forced me to put money where it needed to be, which then allowed me to also maybe pay myself a little bit less, but I was able to pay myself. And so at the end of the day, it's a forced upgrade. You're updating the software just by simply doing those things. So.
Look, I mean, there was, it took years after I opened and then hired people where I was bringing people on, and either my money would degrade slightly in what I made or it would stay stagnant to hire. There was even a time once we went to hire somebody and I didn't have the funds, and Danny was working full time with me. And I was like, we got to cut your payback. I mean, because all our money went in the same account. But I was like, we got to cut your pay down so we can afford this guy. All right. So like there was times we'd do that for the return later down the road, right? So, you know, I'm right there with you. But I mean, back to the vehicle thing. I mean, if that's what you value, right? Like after you started crushing it, I remember you went and bought a Rolex. You did, right? Made you feel good. So I 100% go along with that. Don't go buy a Mercedes though, if like that's not the thing for you. That was the thing for Bradley, right? He wanted that Mercedes. He wanted to feel good in it. Stuff like that. So, you know, I'm completely with you. I remember when Danny and I, we weren't, I think we were married right around a year, might have been less than a year, when we bought our first house. We were renting. I think we were paying $750 a month in rent. Now, this was 15 years ago. We were spending $750 a month in rent, and we went to buy a house. And that house was going to cost us $1,300 a month in a note. And I remember being like in sheer panic with paying that kind of monthly note on a house. And I can't remember who it was. It was a cousin or something. It was like, man, you know, I mean, as long as you check your budget, it'll work out. You'll pay that. You'll make that note every month. Like you'll do it. You'll rise up and you'll take care of it. I mean, we were young and I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. Right. It was never an issue. Some of the fun stuff we wanted to do might have been an issue at times, but the making the note was never an issue, you know. So you do rise up. And I've seen other people, I mean, just like you said, I mean, man, I still remember when you hired your first employee and you talking to me about it, and you were nervous as shit, right? Rightfully so. You were making sure you're right. But it didn't take no time after that. You start adding. I mean, it supercharged what you were doing because it supercharged your mindset.
And that's that was the biggest key. And I'll even say that there was a point where I was wanting to sell my vehicle that I was in or traded in at one point. And you got me in touch with the guy, Kevin, over at Allen Vigil. And he shows me these, you know, he shows me some trucks, and I'm like, man, I love this specific truck. But I was like, you know what, man, it's not, you know, it's not in my budget, da, 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 da. He said, and I will probably always remember this and I'll always pass it on. He said, if you love the vehicle, you will always come up with a way to pay for the vehicle. And it's one of those things that we've looked at your, you know, we've looked at the financials. We've got it to where you want it to be. You've just got to make the decision whether you love the vehicle or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I left that day without it. I came back the next day, bought it. And that $100 or $200 increase on the monthly, I never even felt it.
Yeah.
Because I went to work the next day and I was like, I got to bust my ass.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. From that point on, it's always been that for me. It's like the moment that I have that one little thing in my head, very similar to you know, what you explained, like whether it's an employee, whether it's this, whether it's that, like you find a way. If you mm-hmm. genuinely want it to happen, you've got to bite down on the bullet and just take it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and but that should continue. The thoughts and ideas on that should continue to expand, right?
There's got to be growth. That's
where it starts, but it should expand. So, you know, like now I think about, man, damn, I want a lake house.
Yeah.
You know, I want this. I want to be able to get where I earn this. I want to earn more time. You know, I want more time. Like, how do I start getting there? Well, do the work you don't want to do right now, figure out a plan, get it done. And that's what I'm trying to do. And man, some days I feel really good about it when I leave here. Some days I'm like, damn, I thought I was getting somewhere and I'm right back where I started.
Yeah.
Right. And it's me. It's nothing else. It's me.
Yeah.
You know,
there's got to be growth applied. There's got to be
growth. Yeah.
Fast tracks it. So with all that being said, is there anything you want to add? No quotes this week, James?
God, I can't remember whose quote this is, but this is a good one. The wishbone will never replace the backbone.
Take it. Guys, with that being said, do not forget to check out our sponsors, Jocko Fuel and Origin USA. They've got a lot of cool stuff coming out. I did notice for the jiu-jitsu guys out there, they have, I think it's four rash guards for $100 or two rash guards for $100, something like that. It's a pretty good deal. With all of this being the way that it is, it's all U.S. made. It's all high quality stuff. You're going to love it. They've got protein. They've got greens. They've got absolutely everything that you could possibly need. They've got. So go take a look. And when you do get to it, at the checkout, put in the code GRIND10, GRIND10. Save yourself 10% off. We've also got a few other discount codes inside of our description, so don't forget to check those out. With all that being said, James.
Grinder out.